At 6 minutes past four, it's the Phoenix FM Drive Show. Now, today, we have been supporting Time to Talk. And it's now Time to Talk. And we have been handing over the airwaves all day long since 7 o'clock this morning to representatives from local community groups, service users and therapists to give them time to talk. And today, it's about challenging mental health stigma and discrimination here in the UK, and to basically encourage people just to have a conversation, talk to people. I want to welcome to the studio this afternoon Peter Ferrier, Audrey Clark, Colin Ways, Karen Undrill and Louisa North. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
How has everybody enjoyed the day so far?
Good.
Very good.
Yeah.
Wait.
we're going to talk to Colin first, because we know Colin here at Phoenix.
Do you?
Yeah, we do.
What have you heard?
some things we can't talk about this afternoon. Colin is a mental health supporter, a support worker for Brentwood Mind.
That's correct.
And he does a really good job at it as well.
Who told you that?
He does a very good job at it. Now, can you just explain to people who may not know what Brentwood Mind is?
A little bit
of background.
Okay, yeah. Brentwood Mind's been supporting people with mental health problems for 40 years. We've just had our 40th anniversary.
Yeah.
We run groups such as, you know, music groups, art. We have in-house counselling. And bridge building is what we call it. So we try and encourage people back into the community.
Okay.
By supporting them, trying to get them into sort of voluntary work and hopefully back into full-time employment, and just basically just encourage them as much as we can.
So how do people end up at Brentwood Mind?
They can self-refer. I mean, we're right next door to Lucy's shop, so okay. Easy to find.
Yeah.
You can come and self-refer. If you think you've got a problem, you can come in and have a chat with one of us. We do sort of a 20-minute assessment, come in and we'll sort of see what we can do. You can be referred by your GP, by the community mental health team. There's various ways. You can even just go on our website and refer yourself.
So what made you want to get involved with the organisation?
Well, it's a long story. I started it in sort of music promotion, so it's something completely different.
Yeah.
But I like people, and I think, to be honest, talking, and that's what today is all about, is a very good way of helping.
Yeah.
And that's what I like doing.
And when it comes to mental health stigma and discrimination, it to some people it's quite a taboo topic to talk about.
Well, it is,
and
it's been in the news recently.
Yeah.
You know, we had the whole thing with ASDA, with their, you know, mental health patient, you know, all that going on. It's something that people don't like to talk about, and it's always been a bit sort of brushed under the carpet. And I think that's why today is fantastic, that, you know, a whole day of sort of bringing it out in the open is fantastic.
Absolutely. Next, we're going to have a chat to Peter, Shadow Director of Brentwood Community Print. I used to live just over the road from where you guys are based, at the Brentwood Community Print. And can you tell us a little bit more about the organisation?
Yeah, hi. As you just said, my name's Peter, and I've been going to Brentwood Community Print now for about 3 years. I started there as what we used to be called a service user. So I was referred to the organisation because I was suffering from mental health problems. I'd had a breakdown and really wasn't very well at all. But now that I've been there for some time and my recovery has got to a certain stage, I'm now part of the machine that helps other people that are in recovery from mental health issues. But we are quite unique, and the reason we are unique is because we offer supportive work for people to try and get back into work using the tools that we have in the shop. We are a print shop. So you come to us, and after a little while of an induction, we train you up to do sometimes small tasks, sometimes bigger tasks. And that helps build your confidence, but not only that, it helps in providing you with vessel in order for you to get to a position where you might be able to get to work at some stage in the near future.
Yeah, because it's a life-changing experience, isn't it, Peter? When I was just, when we were making coffee and tea earlier on, the conversations and that were going on, this just happened out of the blue for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, everybody in life has a problem at some stage, and everybody in life has to be able to cope with that problem. Some people are better at coping those problems with others. And what you'll find is with a breakdown, it can manifest itself in all kinds of things like depression, anxiety, lack of confidence, social exclusion, being stuck at home, not having that confidence to go out there and making that next step when you know that you've not been well.
Yeah.
I was a retailer for 25 years and my job was sales, and you have all that confidence to do sales and all of a sudden that's been taken away from you and you have no confidence, you're stuck at home. And luckily I found this organisation which used to be called Rethink Graphics.
Yeah.
Now it's called Brentwood Community Print. And you go in there and, as I say, you get assessed to the level where you are in your recovery, and then during a period of time you will get to a position where you will hopefully then be ready to go back to work. And that's how they've helped me over the last few years.
And I was gonna ask, as you referred to, you were a confident salesman.
Yeah.
Or did you feel the breakdown coming on? Did it happen in time, or was this just...
It was probably building up since the age of 15, actually, because
I
realised I wasn't very well as a youngster.
Okay.
I probably went into the wrong job. And then you'll find that retail is quite a pressurised job, depending on who you work for. And I had a marriage which unfortunately didn't work very well for me, and had some personal problems. And behind the scenes, you don't realise, but those things are building up. And you're using the wrong type of coping mechanisms, like you're not sleeping properly, you're not eating properly. Perhaps you're using alcohol as a coping mechanism when you should be perhaps going for a run or eating fresh food. So for everybody it's different. So it got to a stage where it just snapped after 25 years, and then everything fell apart for a period of time.
And you said you felt it, you felt that you were ill when you were 15. What do you mean by you felt you were ill? You felt you were different, or what
I kind of always knew that I wasn't a very happy teenager, and I was suffering from depression when I was very, very young. But the thing is, you just think that's part of your personality. You don't actually think that is part of some kind of health problem where you need help. And back then, even if I felt like I could use some help, there probably wasn't much help out there. So you just think it's a personality issue. It isn't really a health issue. But now, which is great, and part of what today is doing, is we're starting to explore the fact that mental health issues are a health problem, and there are places out there that can really really help you. And when we talk to Audrey a little bit later on, Audrey's the director, she's with me today, Audrey will probably more eloquently describe about the things we do at Brentwood Community Print to help people that are in recovery. But for myself, it's been a long and tricky road, and the thing to realise is this is something which will be with you forever.
Yeah.
It's never going to go away. What you have to do is you have to learn to manage it. You have to learn to find what are the triggers, what makes you tick.
Yeah.
And once you've done that, then you can hopefully cope with life better and you can go forward.
And this is why people such as Colin are important, and Audrey are important. All these people who put in place these organisations where people can go and get that support. Because as you said, when you were 15, you felt that there was no support out there. And this is the thing now. We need these support networks, because everyone just needs a little bit of caring sometimes.
And we have that same... This has been dragging on for such a long time now. It's the same old cliche, what you can't see, you frighten.
Because
it's not a broken leg, you can't see it. People make a judgment on you without really knowing anything about you or anything at all.
Yeah.
Oh, I've suffered from a mental health problem. Oh, you must be somebody that doesn't belong in our community. Completely the opposite.
Yeah.
Some people with mental health issues are the most creative, intelligent and forward-thinking people you could have ever come to speak to, but they've just got something which holds them back, something which means that they're perhaps not functioning as well as they should be in society.
So how can society improve its attitude to mental illness? I suppose it starts at maybe the top with the press.
The press need to sell papers.
Yeah.
So they'll sensationalise a story. And unfortunately, when you do get those really negative stories where somebody has been suffering from a serious mental health issue, and I mean a really, perhaps it's related to some violent episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, the papers will report that. Mostly, what in my experience, and I'm not a trained mental health care worker, unlike Colin, but in my experience, from what I've seen in the mental health world, is most people who have mental health issues are non-violent, extremely placid, extremely loving, caring people
yeah.
who just so happen to have, perhaps it's a chemical imbalance, perhaps there's some wiring in the brain that isn't right, but it's not their fault, yeah. and it can be treated.
Yeah. We will come back and talk some more. We will meet Karen Louisa and Audrey too in the next 10 minutes or so. The Pet Shop Boys and Where the Streets Have No Name on Phoenix FM. We're still talking in the studio because today is Time to Talk, organised for Time for Change to challenge mental health stigma and discrimination here in the UK. And we've been interviewing, talking to representatives from local community groups, service users and therapist all day long, and it's now time to meet Karen and Louisa, both from Essex Counselling at Home organisation, or ECHO for short. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
So you're a mobile organisation.
We go to people's homes, if that's what you mean.
Yeah. So how did ECHO start? And when did it start?
We were volunteers at Age Concern Essex to begin with, and we all did that for quite a long time. And unfortunately, Age Concern Essex had to stop the counselling service, and we thought it was an essential service. We had loads of clients, and we decided that there's five of us, would set it up on our own and call it ECHO, Essex Counselling at Home Organisation. And we've been running now for a year.
A year?
Yes.
And how's it going?
It's going fine, yes.
Is it everything that you expected it to be?
It's hard work
yeah.
setting up an organisation.
Because it takes some courage to step away from something, say, as established as Age Concern, to go off and create your own organisation, especially dealing with what you deal with.
Yes, I'm not sure that we realised how much work it was going to create. We just really wanted to do it for the people.
Yeah.
We knew there was loads out there, and we felt it was a really essential service, so we just had to get out and do it. But I'm not sure we realised yeah. just how much work we would have to put in to actually get it off the ground. And before the year, we actually spent about 2 years organising it.
So, Louisa, could you explain kind of a typical day at ECHO?
Well, there isn't a typical day. It would, because we go to people's homes, so it fits in around around the clients that we have.
What kind of clients do you deal with at ECHO?
Mostly it's people who have issues raised from loss of relationship, a partner dying, moving home or losing their home, retiring, going into a care home, operations, diagnosis of an illness, all those sorts of things really.
Yeah.
Bereavement's quite a big one. It's mainly loss is a big...
So are you there as a support network for people? Is it over the age of 55 you deal with?
It's over the age of 55.
Okay, so in the elderly.
Yes.
Because I was living, like a personal experience I've had with someone elderly with a mental illness, is I was living in a flat earlier on this year, and a couple of doors down from me, there was a lady who suffered with dementia. And she had a couple of people go in there, one in the morning and one at night. And that was it. And then she was left to her own devices, even though it was obvious that this woman really needed more care. And I can remember speaking to her daughter about it, and her daughter was saying, there just isn't enough people to do this now. And, you know, I had incidents where... I walked out of my living room and she was stood in my kitchen, not knowing where she was. She was thinking the house was her own, and it opened my eyes to how much some people are just kind of left to fend for themselves.
It's really difficult.
And if people like yourself and Louisa don't come along and provide support network, they just unfortunately, just like this lady did, she died, and you know, and there wasn't. It kind of really got to me that there wasn't anyone really there apart from her family to kind of help her out, because I never thought a visit in the morning and a visit at night was adequate for her.
No, there's not a lot of support nowadays because of funding being cut, etc. It's getting more difficult for people, as is more of a counselling service than a support service.
Yeah.
So the people need to want counselling rather than we couldn't force it on them. A lot of relatives would love their loved ones to have counselling, believe they should have counselling, but actually if the person themselves don't want the counselling, it's not going to work. No.
So why do you think funding is being cut in this area specifically?
Oh, that's very difficult. That would probably be a huge discussion, wouldn't it, to discuss why and the wherefores. But it appears to be. I know they want to obviously get people back to work, and maybe there's a reason there. I suppose there's only so much money to go around.
Yeah.
But yes, a big discussion that would be, I think.
And can mental ill health be triggered at any age? You deal with over 55-year-olds. Do you have, say, someone at the age of 60 who has not suffered with a mental illness until the age of 60, then all of a sudden, whatever illness they've got suddenly hits them?
And it could be anything. Like Louisa said, there's a lot of losses.
Yeah.
So it could be that they've lost a loved one, that they've, as she said, lost their home and had to be moved into a nursing home. That's a huge thing for people to suddenly lose that. They've lost their independence if they're being given a diagnosis of a chronic illness. There's just so many losses. Retirement, a totally different way of life for lots of people, and they just can't cope.
So it's a simple trigger, just something simple like that. It triggers
anything.
It off.
And then they can't cope. They don't know what to do. It becomes overwhelming. Hmm. It's really difficult for them, and so they need somebody to talk to.
So where are you, can we find more information about ECHO on the website, on the internet,
we have a Facebook page or a mobile phone number, which is should I give it out?
079 35 261 223. And we're taking note of that, and we'll add all this information and other information that's been given out during the day to the Phoenix FM website over the next day or so. So, 1 year in, and I wish you many, many, many more years.
Thank you.
Because it's people like you that make the world go round, you know, people like Colin and people like Audrey, you know, people who care. And I think we need more people in this world who care more about others than about themselves.
Thank you.
Basically.
Thank
so
you.
Thank you. We will come back and we'll recap on everything, because I know Peter's got a request. The Pet Shop Boys and Where the Streets Have No Name on Phoenix FM. We're still talking in the studio because today is Time to Talk, organised for Time for Change, to challenge mental health stigma and discrimination here in the UK. And we've been interviewing, talking to representatives from local community groups, service users and therapist all day long, and it's now time to meet Karen and Louisa, both from Essex Counselling at Home organisation, or ECHO for short. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
So you're a mobile organisation.
Yes.
We go to people's homes, if that's what you mean.
Yeah. So how did ECHO start? And when did it start?
We were volunteers at Age Concern Essex to begin with, and we all did that for quite a long time. And unfortunately, Age Concern Essex had to stop the counselling service, and we thought it was an essential service. We had loads of clients, and we decided that the five of us, there's five of us, would set it up on our own and call it ECHO, Essex Counselling at Home Organisation. And we've been running now for a year.
A year. And how's it going?
It's going fine, yes.
Is it everything that you expected it to be?
It's hard work setting up an organisation.
Because it takes some courage to step away from something, say, as established as Age Concern, to go off and create your own organisation, especially dealing with what you deal with.
Yes, I'm not sure that we realised how much work it was going to create. We just really wanted to do it for the people.
Yeah.
We knew there was loads out there, and we felt it was a really essential service, so we just had to get out and do it. But I'm not sure we realised just how much work we would have to put in to actually get it off the ground. And before the year, we actually spent about 2 years organising it.
So, Louisa, could you explain kind of a typical day at Echo?
Well, there isn't a typical day. It would, because we go to people's homes, so it fits in around around the clients that we have.
What kind of clients do you deal with at Echo?
Mostly it's people who have issues raised from loss of relationship, a partner dying, moving home or losing their home, retiring, going into a care home, operations, diagnosis of an illness, all those sorts of things, really.
Yeah.
Bereavement's quite a big one. It's mainly loss is a big...
So are you there as a support network for people? Is it over the age of 55 you deal with?
It's over the age of 55.
Okay, so in the elderly.
Yes.
Because I was living like a personal experience I've had with someone elderly with a mental illness is I was living in a flat earlier on this year, and a couple of doors down from me there was a lady who suffered with dementia. And she had a couple of people go in there, one in the morning and one at night. And that was it. And then she was left to her own devices, even though it was obvious that this woman really needed more care. And I can remember speaking to her daughter about it, and her daughter was saying, there just isn't enough people to do this now. And, you know, I had incidents where... I walked out of my living room and she was stood in my kitchen, not knowing where she was. She was thinking the house was her own, and it opened my eyes to how much some people are just kind of left to fend for themselves.
It's really difficult.
And if people like yourself and Louisa don't come along and provide support network, they just, unfortunately, just like this lady did, she died, and, you know, and... There wasn't. It kind of really got to me that there wasn't anyone really there apart from her family to kind of help her out. Because I never thought a visit in the morning and a visit at night was adequate for her.
No, it's not a lot of support nowadays because of funding being cut, etc. It's getting more difficult for people. As is more of a counselling service than a support service.
Yeah.
So the people need to want counselling rather than... We couldn't force it on them. A lot of relatives would love their loved ones to have counselling, believe they should have counselling, but actually, if the person themselves don't want the counselling, it's not going to work. No.
So why do you think funding is being cut in this area specifically?
Oh, that's very difficult. That would probably be a huge discussion, wouldn't it, to discuss why and the wherefores. But it appears to be. I know they want to obviously get people back to work, and maybe there's a reason there. I suppose there's only so much money to go around.
Yeah.
But yes, a big discussion that would be, I think.
And can mental ill health be triggered at any age? You deal with over 55-year-olds. Do you have, say, someone at the age of 60 who has not suffered with a mental illness until the age of 60, then all of a sudden, whatever illness they've got, suddenly hits them. And
yeah,
like,
it could be anything. Like Louisa said, there's a lot of losses.
Yeah.
So it could be that they've lost a loved one, that they've, as she said, lost their home and had to be moved into a nursing home. That's a huge thing for people to suddenly lose that. They've lost their independence if they're being given a diagnosis of a chronic illness. There's just so many losses. Retirement, a totally different way of life for lots of people, and they just can't cope.
So it's a simple trigger, just something simple like that. It triggers
anything.
It off.
And then they can't cope. They don't know what to do. It becomes overwhelming. Mm. It's really difficult for them, and so they need somebody to talk to.
So where are you, can we find more information about ECHO on the website, on the internet,
we have a Facebook page or a mobile phone number, which is should I give it out? 07935261223.
And we're taking note of that, and we'll add all this information and other information that's been given out during the day to the Phoenix FM website over the next day or so. So 1 year in, and I wish you many, many, many more years.
Thank you.
Because
thank you.
It's people like you that make the world go round, you know, people like Colin and people like Audrey, you know, people who care. And I think we need more people in this world who care more about others than about themselves.
Thank you.
Basically.
Thank
so
you.
Thank you. We will come back and we'll recap on everything, because I know Peter's got a request. It's the Phoenix FM Drive Show, and today here at Phoenix FM, it's been Time to Talk Day, and we've done a lot of talking, and we're still talking, and I've really enjoyed the last hour with you guys. Audrey, I've been given loads of different names. Peter, Audrey, Colin, Karen and Louisa. I've really enjoyed having a chat with you all. Colin from Brentwood Mind, Audrey and Peter from the Brentwood Community Print, and Karen and Louisa from ECHO.
Thank you, it's been great to see you.
Thank you.
Now, I was going to ask each of you, what would you like to see change in the future when it comes to mental health stigma and discrimination here in the UK? And we'll start with you, Peter.
Hi, yeah, thank you for allowing me to leave this comment. I'm very passionate about the fact that work can be used as a therapy. And as an outcome, I would like not only for people to understand a little bit more about something that admittedly is not seen, and actually I think the word mental isn't helpful in some situations because it conjures up some aura of some more spiritual being, which is not. Mm. The brain is still a physical functioning thing. But what I'd like to see as an outcome is I would love to see Brentwood Community Print, but done on a much larger scale, perhaps products that can be sold and made money so that people can actually get paid. Because some people who suffer from mental illness simply will struggle in the normal working environment by lack of confidence and lack of self-esteem. Mm. And what would be great to see is the government perhaps make an initiative where people can work, get paid for what they're doing, because they're making a product that can be sold to pay for the wages, and so not have to have that fear of being trapped in an organisation perhaps which isn't too friendly towards people with mental health difficulties.
I'll back you on that, Peter.
Absolutely.
You know, we'll get that going. Colin?
Oh, well, I'll keep mine nice and short. I just think that mental health should have the same footing as physical health. Absolutely. Just to be looked at in the same way. No discrimination, no stigma. A broken arm, depression, same thing.
How about you, Louisa?
Yes, I'm the same as Colin was saying with the mental health. And because it's unseen, I would like it to be much more recognised and talked about, so it becomes normal.
And not a taboo subject.
And not a taboo.
Yeah.
For me, I think very similar to the others. I used to work with volunteers at a large hospital, and I think it's really important that more firms take in people, whether it be volunteers rather than paid to begin with mental health, just so that they can give them people the confidence to show them they are the same as everybody else and they can do the job just as good as everybody else. Mm. And that's what I'd like to see more of.
And lastly, Audrey?
Me, I'd like to see more local businesses in Brentwood in particular to be a little bit more open, to look at Brentwood Community Print as an example of how people can work with mental illness, that people would be a bit more flexible about accepting people for employment.
Again, Peter, Colin, Louisa, Karen and Audrey, thank you very much for coming in today, discussing about your organisations and about your journeys as well. And I think we should end with a round of applause.
Yay. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
We're going to play some Metallica for Peter. Yay. In a minute. We've just got to squeeze these
Peter
in first.
Phoenix FM Events Guide with Simply